This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. Have you ever been to a fancy reception with wine flowing and an array of canapés made with all manner of produce from the Central Coast, charcuterie platters in various corners of the room, alongside cheese boards large enough to climb? And when you were at these schwanky events, in the days when they used to happen with frequency, did you ever notice the flowers that adorned these platters and boards? These colorful additions to our party-going have replaced the kale that was used for decades as the garnish or to add some color to an otherwise boring stainless steel tray. Did you know, though, that a lot of the time, those flowers are edible? There are loads of edible flowers all around us. Like the kale garnish, which is now in everyone's smoothies, the decoration on your cheese board is indeed edible and delicious. And on a windy summer afternoon, I went up to Atascadero to find out more about edible flowers. It was indeed pretty windy, but the tasty treats were well worth it.
Hi, I'm Zena Engel, and my husband and I own Lulu Farms in Paso Robles. We have about 2.5 acres. It's just my husband, myself, and our 3-year-old that farm it. We also have a 1-year-old. She just can't quite help yet. Okay. We have a lot of different herbs. As kind of part of our herb program, we also expanded into edible flowers. You're not allergic to bees, are you? I forgot to mention. Okay, well, there's a beehive right here. Okay. We have a Waray hive that you can see there, and then we have a Langstrom in the back. The girls are out doing their job today. That's another reason why we expanded our edible flower project, because of the bees, and they really love it. Obviously, bees love flowers. The trick is keeping up on picking the flowers before the bees pollinate them and they turn to seed. A flower is a plant's like biological necessity to reproduce. So the flower is produced, it gets pollinated by a pollinator, whether that's a bee or a hummingbird or butterfly, etc. And then once that gets pollinated, it either turns into fruit, which actually has the seed inside of it for a lot of things, or it turns into a seed, just straight up. So flowers will change from a flower into seeds. Plums, obviously, they turn into plums, which have the seed inside. And the reason why they're covered in tasty fruit is to get animals to take them, eat them, and then scatter their seeds, basically. The flower is what attracts the pollinators. Because we keep bees, we are a zero spray farm. Even when you're certified organic, there's still about 50 chemicals you can spray. When you have bees, there's really only 3 that are genuinely safe for bees. You can see our honeybees, and then you can see all these little teeny, teeny, tiny bees. Those are minor bees. Honeybees are sort of the only bee that people really think about, but the smaller bees actually do a much more efficient job of pollinating. So this is our original edible flower spiral. We're in the process of redoing it and replanting. When COVID hit, edible flowers were sort of one of the first things that people stopped buying because it was very much like a luxury item. As I was saying, when you have bees, it's hard to keep up on picking before the bees can pollinate it. Once a flower is pollinated and the plant goes to seed, it sort of completed its biological necessity. So the plants will either kind of die off or go dormant. So we're in the process of redoing the original circle and replanting. When COVID first hit, this whole thing was an amazing bright yellow, bright orange, bright white fluff of flowers that were probably about 3 feet tall.
Wow.
And then we actually added on a secondary flower spiral specifically for photos because we had a lot of people who toured the farm and wanted to take pictures and we wanted to have like a pretty backdrop. So that's where I figured we could taste some flowers.
Okay. So once a bee pollinates a flower, how long does it take to go to seed and go dormant?
It sort of depends on the flower really and the size. I can show you these are calendulas right here. So this would be freshly opened flower, and then this would have been open for a few days. This has already been pollinated by a bee but hasn't quite turned to seed, versus this one down here. You can see all the little seeds have formed.
Right.
And then this will actually dry out and repropagate itself.
So you can still pick it and eat it right after it's pollinated, but you've got to really watch it?
You could eat it. I mean, you could depetal it, because this type of flower, the base is a little bit tough and chewy, so typically you would depetal this flower to eat it. So you could still eat it. It's just not kind of as fresh as a freshly bloomed flower.
Right. It's like the bougie supermarket versus the dollar store.
Yeah, you could look at it that way. Yeah. Maybe like a glass of wine, like if you like had a bottle of wine and you drank everything but a glass, and the next day you were like, well, I still just kind of want a glass, so I'm gonna drink it. And you're like, it's all right, but it was much better last night. So this was our secondary spiral, but now it's our primary spiral. While this one's recovering and being replanted, if you just wanna follow the path, take us into the center.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian, tasting flowers with Zena Engel. And of course, the wind kicks up during the most interesting part.
So what kind of flowers do we have here?
So we have zinnias, moose. Sorry, moose is obviously not a flower. He's my obnoxious dog. We have several varieties of marigolds. These are the French marigolds, Harlequin marigolds. We have also some little gem marigolds. I picked sort of a little bit of everything. Bachelor buttons are also known as cornflowers. And then there's borage or borage. We have calendulas. We have one of my favorite, actually. You see those big fluffy white ones right there? Those are actually carrot blossoms.
Oh.
And they taste like carrots. It's an amazing, like, you eat a flower that actually tastes like a carrot.
And is it a carrot underneath there?
It is, but ironically, once the carrot blooms, it puts all of its energy into upward growth to produce the seed. So if you look at that one over there, you can see how it's already gone to seed. The actual carrot itself kind of shrivels up and becomes smaller because it's no longer putting the energy into producing the root. So initially when you plant the seed, it puts its energy into producing the root and getting bigger and stronger and more established. And then after it is as established as it wants to, it puts all of its energy into growing the flowers.
To propagate itself.
To propagate itself, exactly. These guys are Cosmos sulphurus. Sorry, those guys are the Cosmos sulphurus over there.
Beautiful kind of saffron colored ones?
Yes. So there's a couple varieties of Cosmos that are edible. Not all of them, all of the sulphurus are. And then there's another variety called Ulam Raja, which means the king salad in Malaysian. The whole plant is edible. It's called the king salad because it was the king's favorite salad, was that variety of flower and the leaves and everything in it.
How do you know if a flower is edible? Do you know because you've done the research?
And that's yes.
The kind of flowers you've planted? Or...
Yes.
Okay, so if you're out in a forest, is it okay to try, or should you just be like...
I would not recommend that because all plants create a beautiful flower. Some of those plants are poisonous. Just because they're poisonous doesn't mean that they don't want to propagate themselves. Not to say that eating a tiny little piece of a flower is going to kill you, but it could make you sick. It could make your tongue go numb. You could have an allergic reaction. I wouldn't recommend eating random things if you don't know what you're doing.
And another fairly obvious top tip is to wash it before you put it in your mouth. Not only do you not know who's been there before you, you don't know what happened on or near that flower before you got there. Zena makes the very good point that just because something is edible doesn't mean it tastes good.
So zinnias and snapdragons are two edible flowers, but they have a very bitter component to them, so not everybody particularly likes them. The other thing I would say when you are out foraging, so nasturtiums are edible. They taste like radish. They're an amazing edible flower. So roses are edible.
Yeah.
Obviously, roses are highly perfumey. Not everybody likes that amount of flavor.
My sister was really into rosehip tea, and I've been to Turkey where a lot of their candy is flavored with rose water. And
my great-grandmother liked English rose tea candies. They came in like these cute little tin things, and my mom bought those for me when I was a kid because it was like a memory for her because her grandmother liked them. But they're very perfumey. And then also the flowers from the herbs are edible, so like basil flowers. This is a different variety of lavender called lady lavender. Fennel blossoms, when it's an herb-based flower, it's going to taste like whatever herb that is. The fennel flower will taste like fennel, the lavender flower will taste like lavender, etc.
Okay, so can I taste some?
Of course.
How do I start?
You know what, let me try and maybe pick sort of milder. I would maybe pull some petals off of this cosmos. A lot of flowers aren't gonna have a super intense flavor. Some do have a very intense flavor. I always tell people who are sort of intimidated by them to just look at it as really pretty lettuce. There's one of the carrot blossoms.
Oh yeah, I definitely want to try the carrot. It tastes like a woody carrot.
An old carrot.
An old carrot.
Zena worked with a chef with her carrots and her carrot blossoms. Zena gave the chef a bunch of rainbow carrots, and he made dishes based on the color of the carrots, including a purple carrot gazpacho garnished with none other than the carrot blossoms. Sounds delish.
You know, carrots at their peak are super, super sweet.
Right.
And this kind of more bitterness could balance that.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I'm not a chef, but I could imagine that I could never create a dish using flowers. So what else do we have here?
These are begonias. So tuberous begonias are edible, and they have an amazing citrusy component to them. That's one.
Yeah,
that's a fun one.
It tastes like a lemon, but it's not sour.
Right. Almost like a Meyer lemon, and it has a fun sort of succulent-like texture to it.
And it was a burst of flavor. It was
Wow. That's one of my favorites. Chamomile.
Do we eat the whole thing?
You can.
I suppose we make it into tea, don't we? Mmm. This brings back some memories because my grandfather's ranch in South Dakota, one of the regular things was chamomile. And we would just pick the chamomile there and make tea out of it right there. So what's this?
The water, it's a pluot marigold water.
The marigold flowers are in there and then
I muddled the marigolds on the ice and then added the pluots as well. My husband used to be a bartender. When we first started the farm, would take different components into work and kind of mess around with them. And one of my favorite things that he did was a marigold mojito. So this is sort of like a virgin marigold mojito.
This is very nice. It's very refreshing.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio, and you're listening to Playing with Food on Issues and Ideas. I'm Father Ian with Zena Engel of Lulu Farms in Atascadero, tasting wildflowers. So what's the outlet for her flowers?
Farmers market?
We don't do farmers market. When my job transitioned over to Peacock Cheese, I already had all of the chef contacts. We started off as 100% chef direct, which doesn't work when most of your restaurant customers are closed or only have 5 tables in them, or as the case may be, outside of them. We have sort of shifted a little bit this year. We started a micro CSA program for friends. CSA means community supported agriculture. It's a veggie box, basically. We have a little farm stand that will open up periodically when we have an overabundance. Some of our restaurants are still around catering.
What are these furry things?
That is the barrage right there.
Oh,
so that is this little guy right here.
Yeah.
It kind of tastes like a fishy cucumber.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
But not offensive.
The barrage is one of her most popular flowers among her chef clients. However, the petals are very small and time-consuming to work with.
In terms of your season, are you able to produce all year round?
Our flowers typically go year round. I forgot to mention when we were talking about sales avenues, we partnered up with Harvestly. Cal Poly Kids started sort of an online marketplace for local farmers, and you can go on to Harvestly Co. It's basically like going to farmers market, but it's online. You can go to different farms and order what they have available, and then Harvestly picks it up from the local farms and drops it off to your door. So it's all of the fun varieties and freshness of going to farmers market without actually having to go to farmers market. So they have our edible flowers on Harvestly Co. if you did want to get a variety pack and try them out.
Oh, cool. And how do you do your packaging then?
We triple wash them. Like I said, we're zero spray, so you don't have to worry about any kind of chemical residue or anything, but it is a farm, so it is dusty and dirty. And then we just have them in clamshells. Just like you saw Destiny, that's like a large clamshell that she got from us. We do them all the way down to little small $5, and they're all sample packs. It's just going to be a huge variety of things.
And then once you clamshell them all, is there a proper way to store these?
In the refrigerator.
Okay. And how long do they last once they're picked?
It depends on the flower. I mean, you can see these have kind of been sitting out for a little while. Some flowers are more delicate than others. That's why we usually include some of the more stable flowers like marigolds and zinnias, because they will last for a couple weeks. versus like the barrage is one of chef's favorites, but also one of the first ones to kind of wilt and go.
And what do you use the edible flowers for? Obviously, this beverage is very refreshing.
Cocktails, definitely a top one. Garnish, of course, for cheese plates or on salads. You make a salad and you kind of pull the petals and sprinkle them, and then it goes from just like a blah salad to, I mean, you could go get a generic salad from a restaurant and sprinkle it with edible flowers and all of a sudden it's gourmet.
Will that work with my bag salad?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It makes a beautiful garnish. One of our customers who got our edible flowers off of Harvestly actually froze some in ice cube, which I haven't done yet. I've put them in cocktails and in beverages, but I've never thought to actually freeze them in the ice cube, which I thought was a really clever idea because then it stays preserved in there for longer and you also don't get petals in your mouth while you're drinking.
So it's more than just sprinkling on a salad or using it to make a cheese plate look nice. There's lots of things
There's lots of things you can do with them. Edible flower pancakes are gorgeous. So you sort of cook the pancake right before you're going to flip it, put pansies and things into the top. When you flip it over, be very careful not to burn it because then the flowers will kind of not look pretty anymore either. But you flip it over, and then when you flip it over, it looks like pressed flowers in your pancakes. That's one of my favorite things to do with them. My daughter, she's only one, but she's obsessed with flowers, so she really loves those. There's all sorts of medicinal applications as well. Echinacea, we don't have any echinacea blooming right now, but the echinacea flowers are really pretty. You can make teas and things out of those.
So there is a lot that you can do.
There is a lot that you can do. And there's a lot of marigolds. You can see we have a lot of those. The other benefit of marigolds is that they're a very good pest deterrent for the farm. They help keep a lot of pests away. They help deter ants, cucumber beetles. There's probably a list of 20 plus bugs that they help keep out of the garden. So I definitely, if you have a home garden, I would recommend planting a marigold plant in your flower box because it definitely helps keep the bug population down, and you can make mojitos out of them.
You can make mojitos. Wow. I think that's the best part of it, is making mojitos.
Of course. Mojitos are always the best part of it.
You can even drink edible flowers. During one of the windier parts of our conversation, I asked what makes a flower edible. It's edible simply because it's not poisonous. But as you heard Zena say, some taste better than others. I knew about edible flowers, but my first exploration with them was a couple of years ago when I was exploring the kitchen garden at Westmont College with Kenny Chisholm. You'll find that episode on the Playing with Food podcast page. Since then, I've noticed edible flowers at all of these posh events, and I sought out Zena to find out more, and she had a similar response to mine.
I guess my biggest thing is that people should not be afraid to try them. You know, a lot of people are intimidated by edible flowers, or they think of it as just garnish. You know, when I was growing up, nobody really ate kale. It was that fuzzy green thing that you moved off to the side of your plate. Now everybody eats kale. So my biggest thing with edible flowers is encouraging people to actually try them and not just throw them away or push them off to the side, because you might be missing out on a beautiful citrus or radishy kind of pop in your mouth.
During the shelter at home period, I am definitely missing out on the posh food and drink events. But thanks to Zena and specialty farmers like her, we don't have to miss out on the added joy that edible flowers could bring to our dinner tables. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.